Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Bacon TV listeners. Welcome back. What a pleasure it was to spend time in the company of Kevin Phillips, or Super Kevin Phillips, as you may well know him. You're about to hear Kevin skillfully deconstruct the formidable Sunderland team with him and Niall Quinn at its apex. Listen out for Nicky Summerby's crossing, Alan Johnson's trickery, Peter Reid's man management, Monday afternoons in the pub, and how it all led to Kevin and Mickey Gray getting England call-ups while still playing in the Championship. If all of this ain't enough, you can listen to the full 90 minutes of Kev Phillips straight away by becoming a Big Interview socio at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. That's patreon.com/Graham Hunter. You'll be so welcome there. Sign up now and you'll also unlock exclusive interviews, and they're good, with Raphael van der Vaart, Ledley King and Robbie Keane. Every month, the deal gets sweeter. Join us.
I have to ask you a little bit about, rather than just saying about you and Niall and the enjoyment that you had there, but what was the process at Sunderland? Because I think a lot of people have got the mental picture a little bit wrong retrospectively. It was nowhere near a long ball team. I think you fed well off wides. But let's say, in those glorious seasons getting promoted and that first season, seventh at Sunderland, when the ball is at the back, was there a team system that you kind of know, you know, ball dance, and it'll go from here, it'll go from here. Peter and Bobby had certain rules, and yeah, everybody knew the moving parts. Or was it just like, if you give it to Niall and Kevin, they'll sort it out, you know?
No, it wasn't. I think everyone, you know, I've got that perception of, you know, just whack it up to Quinn, he'll flick it on and I'll run on and score. And there was many games when that did happen, but, you know, we had a lot more to our game than that. You know, we had two wingers in Nicky Summerby and Alan Johnson. Nicky Summerby, for me, was one of the best crossers I've ever seen.
Really?
And I trained with David Beckham and played with him in England. Gosh, yeah. And David, you know, don't by far was the best crosser of the ball I have. But Nicky Summerby wasn't a million miles away from him. And what Nicky had the art of doing was he didn't have to take a fullback on to get the ball in the box. If you stood off him a yard, he would whip it in between the fullback or the centre half. If you cut that one off and showed him outside, he had the ability of just knocking it sideways and then whipping his foot round the back of the defence. It was just, it was for me and Quinny, it was amazing to play. He very rarely really got to the byline like an old winger would and then clip it up to come in. That never really happened.
It feels like that's very underappreciated.
Well, we appreciate it. And for now, whenever I do, you know, that's why I talk about it. And whenever I go to Sunderland and talk about Sunderland players, I always say Nicky Summerby, for me, was one of the best crossers of the balls I've seen.
And this interests me now then. Who's the boss in this relationship? Do you say to him, or to Alan, Nicky, this is how and when I want it, or do they give it as they can and you learn?
Yeah.
The latter.
Yeah, the latter for me.
Why?
Because I could read his body language about when he was, you know, because we work together so closely, we'll have that relationship on the training ground. I can tell when he's going to deliver the ball. And there's no point me going early, because the way he delivers a ball, I'll end up offside. I know that he puts so much whip and curl on it that I can...
You can hold your run just a little bit and you're going to be coming onto it.
And like we said earlier, then my process comes in, right, how do I beat my defender? Now it is movement, get out of his eye line. So when he has a little look, then he looks back. Hopefully that ball's coming in, then bang, I'm in behind him.
Do you know when you say it like that? It's even,
well, it seems simple,
even, no, but
it?
Even listen to it. Do you know what? Not simple, it sounds sweet.
Yeah, well, it's...
When you get the mechanics of anything,
of course,
it's like why engineering's good. If you open anything up and show how it works, it looks all the more beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. A colleague of yours from those days, Kev Coban.
Yeah, Chile, yeah.
He said, Kevin, the best finisher cutting in from the inside left channel on the training ground, he used to be 10 from 10 from that area, outside the area. Incredible at finding the corner with precision and power.
Well, I think it, you know, it's nice words from Kev, and you know, he was fantastic for us. But it was like what I said earlier, you know, my thought process about the Jimmy Greaves thing. The Jimmy Greaves, pass it into the net, pass it into the net. And, you know, I, in training, that's all I ever tried to do. I very rarely smashed it. And, you know, the, as I say, good practice, good habits, you take it into the game.
Was Niall made for you, or did you... You both said individually that you didn't actually work phenomenally hard at choreographing it, but it has to be a product of mutual intelligence.
Yeah, of course. It's, you know, Niall's an intelligent guy, and, you know, you don't go on to do what he's done unless you've got some intelligence about you. First and foremost, what a footballer he was. Mm. You know, with his feet, his intelligence, his ability to hang in the air and look while he was in the air to see where I was, and then focus on the ball again. And then it was just quite remarkable.
You've just done a really good impersonation of him there.
It was funny
how, like, you moved your neck, and it's kind of like assessing everything around.
It was, and it, you know, Peter Crouch has had the similar thing when I had a season with Peter at Southampton, and he, for me, was equally as good with his feet and in the air as well. He had that ability
Wonderful footballer. Jump,
yeah, have a look, and then where's my partner, and nod it. It was just something that they were, their gift that they had. So yeah, we were made for each other, and it made it all the more easier for me to work off Big Noel, because, you know, he knew where I was running, and he was able to put the ball where I was running.
Without telling tales, to what extent is it, because that squad had the right good social life. Yeah. Peter Reid likes a night out.
That's putting it mildly.
I was deliberately putting it quite mildly. The first time I ever met him, he was playing on the sly. He was at Everton, somebody at Marbella, some Serbian just bought Marbella football club. And him and Kerry Dixon, and we, is it Terry Phelan who used to play at Wimbledon and Man City?
Yeah.
They came down and played as unregistered guests for Marbella against Crystal Palace.
Right.
And we sort of tagged along a little bit, my mate and I. We were in Marbella at the time, end of season, May, June. And we saw, first time we saw what a proper Premier League night out was like. And did you live in an area where it was quite forgiving, that if the team was playing well, you can get out as a group?
Yeah.
And do the kind of things that, you know, that phrase about a team that drinks together, stays together, plays together, all that kind of stuff. That's true of that era.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we had it in abundance. Certainly wouldn't recommend it now, of course. But that was an era when, you know, Peter, for me, when people say, I played under 21 managers.
That's all.
And people say, you know, who's the best manager you've ever had? And it's quite easy to say Peter E, because that was the best time of my career, but... He really was. You know, in terms of tactics and that, it wasn't his strongest point. That was more Bobby Saxton. He knew the game, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, of course he did.
But his man management skills were excellent.
Which you'd pay $1 million for if you can get that in any dressing room, man management.
Yeah, 100%. It's more about that nowadays than ever. But then, you know, he had the art of dealing with problems, getting the best out of players, and giving the lads that leeway to go and enjoy himself. But he had that command and that respect that the players wouldn't take the piss, so we respected that. But one of the biggest things were, you know, you can play hard, but if you don't work hard, then we've got an issue with you. So he demanded it on the training ground, he demanded it in games, and if you did that, he had no issues with you enjoying yourselves off the pitch.
What were the rules on the night out? What were the Phoenix Nights? Did the Phoenix Nights...
The Phoenix Nights was a pub we used to go to. The rule was no one was allowed to leave until Reedy left. that was it.
So you want clear rules?
Clear rule. There was no rules, but no one goes to bed before Peter does. But it was... Yeah, he was great. You know, Phoenix, we always used to go out. We always used to go out as a team, which was great. We'd go out, if we'd had a good win, no matter even if we'd won or lost, we'd be out
Saturday.
Because
you can get rid of a bad result.
Yeah, we'd get out Saturday night, and for the first hour, you'd be talking about the game and this and that. Then after that, you'd forget about it. And then we used to go to a place called O'Neill's in Durham, an Irish bar that we knew the landlord really well. And there'd be a hardcore group of us. I wouldn't say everyone did it, because we had a few foreign players in the team at that
time. Yeah, a bit late.
Which is fair enough. And then, you know, you would get Monday, come training Monday, a few lads a little bit worse for wear. But we'd still put a shift in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then walking off the training ground, we had Alex Ray at the time, who, you know, bless him, one of my best friends in football, was having his own problems at the time with
Bezic. Yeah, which...
You probably know Alex anyway.
I know that he's really, really made he's made his choices in life. And sorted it out. And
now,
I admire him hugely.
Yeah, amazing now.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
But he would be walking off and go, right, who's anyone fancy the Shakespeare this afternoon? Now, this was an old pub in Durham. And you'd get, yeah, I might have an hour. Before you know it, there's about 12 of us going to the pub Monday afternoon, and you think, what are we doing? But it was just what we had at the time, but we were working hard. So we went out, I wouldn't say we played mega hard, but we enjoyed ourselves.
You know, I know what you're saying now, and I would be hypocritical if I didn't say that in the modern era. You can see why that's got to be edged up. But presumably one of the things that we've learned most in these interviews is that the camaraderie, one of the things you miss about football most is the humour and the digging and and really noising each other up, or I suppose just the laughs that you have. And you have that in the dressing room anyway, because you have to be quick to survive in the pranks. But also, if you transfer that out and draw it out for another few hours in the pub, then it is a bonding thing. And like, I know this guy will be there for me because we've shared X, no?
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely. It's, you know, you get to know, it's famous, isn't it? You get to know people better when you have a drink. Socially, you go out, you have a drink, you relax a bit more. You ask probably more personal questions when you're out and you've had a drink than you would in the dressing room. So you ask them a bit more about their lifestyle, the way they were brought up, about their parents, this and that. So you know a bit more about the player than you know more about me.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that helps. Yeah. You know, nowadays I see, you know, one player, you can guarantee, even in our dressing room, one player probably won't even know if he's got a brother or sister.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way football's gone, and whether it's right or wrong. But then it was what worked for us. You know, we were comfortable doing it.
Is there a thing in dressing rooms where, irrespective just about your personality, asking things like that, players are worried too. There was a nice anecdote from Chris Waddle way back when he's the second most expensive player ever. He goes to Marseille and he's been told to drive in with a Brazilian every day and they can't speak each other languages. And gradually they just go, and one of them goes, Gordon Banks. And he goes, Pelé. And all the trip is only great Brazilians and great.
Yeah.
And at 6-7 months in, when Chris has become adored and he's successful, one of the French guys leans over and says, listen, there's a dinner next week, and Chris goes, I've been here 7 months, you've not spoken to me in English, what? And I've been stuck. Yeah. Why not? He said, I was embarrassed. That thing about being embarrassed, like that thing about knowing if you've got a brother or sister or a personal problem in a dressing room, I don't think the atmosphere is they ask things like that. You don't show any weaknesses. People are sometimes quiet because they're scared of being picked on.
Yeah, definitely. I was totally changed, and back then nobody had any issues. You know, if someone you everyone knew everything about everyone,
really,
and the banter, sometimes it got a bit near the mark, sometimes it would come to blows, but what I liked about that, it got dealt with in the dressing room. You know, it didn't get, unfortunately we live in an era now with the social media, we didn't have it then, but you know, it was dealt, locked the door, and men were men. You know, you deal with it there. If it was fisticuffs, which I saw many times, you know, you just get on with it. And as soon as that door opened, the air's clear and you crack on, you get on with it. So it's totally...
It's true, isn't it? But it's risky.
Well, it is risky. Yeah, it was risky, but...
Can it still exist exactly the same, do you think?
I still feel there's a place for locking the dressing room door and ironing out your problems. Now, take the Darren Gibson incident last week. You know, that should have been sorted out behind closed doors.
Critical words to say about players, but he shared it after a couple of drinks with fans.
Exactly, and you know, it's, don't get me wrong, when we were out and about then, yeah, of course fans would interact with you and you might have your little moan about so-and-so, but you knew you weren't getting recorded.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it needs to be dealt with in the dressing room, and perhaps not enough of that's done nowadays. And I think if it was, you know, we'd probably be a better place.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This definitely isn't a social media thing, but I'm making a film right now of my first book with Duncan McMath. He's not okay. Listening live, obviously, but he's in Barcelona. And he was in O'Neill's one night and in Durham, and he's a mad Tottenham fan. Okay. Now, he alleges that he made conversation with you and you were charm personified and you chatted away and he begged you to come to Tottenham. And he reckons you told him that it had been quite close.
It had, yeah.
True or false? Duncan McMath, is your moment?
Yes, it was. I actually was on holiday in Dubai with my wife and my first daughter. And I got friendly with Justin Edinburgh, David Kerslake and Colin Calderwood. They were in the same hotel. So they said, come over and join us for a drink. So I'm chatting, you know, having a chat. And they said, oh, we'd love to see you down at Spurs. And I said, well, I said, funny enough, you know, there is a bit of rumours around that I could. They said, right, leave it with us. And John Gorman was in the hotel next door. He was assistant manager to Glenn Hoddle at the time. So they got John across. And John says, oh, right, there's a bit of. He said, I'll get Glenn on. So got Glenn on the phone. And I spoke to Glenn. And Glenn said, yeah, I'd love to have you at Tottenham.
Good choice.
So I said, well, you know, all my family were Tottenham and I was Arsenal. My dad was a massive Tottenham fan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're all huge Tottenham. My uncles now are all Tottenham. They still go. So we had a conversation on the phone. I said, yeah, you know, it would be like a dream come true to go and play for a club, you know, where my dad supported him.
Yeah, very emotional, actually.
My mum. I said, yeah, I'd love it. He said, well, you know, leave it to me and we'll come back to you. Unfortunately, I had to go for, when I came back off my holiday, I was going in for a hernia operation. And Glenn got wind of that, because he'd made some phone calls. And he rung me back and he said, I understand you've got to have a hernia operation. I went, yeah. He said, well, I've spoken to Daniel Levy. And he said, he ain't going to pay what we probably need to pay for you. And I think I was 28 or 29 at the time. He said, for someone at your age who needs a hernia operation, because hernias back then weren't what they're like now.
Things have changed, yeah.
So Glenn said to me, listen, he says, I know someone in the south of France that can cure your hernia without an operation. Because Glenn was very much into
yes,
the faith healing.
Yeah.
He said, we'd like to send you. I said, well, Glenn, I can't.
Isn't the water therapy, is it?
I don't know. He just said, we know people that can cure.
I think I know. I think Tony Adams went
there. Yeah,
there
so
as well.
I said, Glenn, I said, it's all well and good. I said, but I'm a Sunderland player. I can't sod off to the south of France and have my hernia cured by another club. I said, if we're going to do it, let's do the right process.
Yeah.
He said, okay, we'll come back. And eventually, because of my hernia, it stopped me going from Tottenham, which would have been great. But, you know, on the flip side of that, I had a wonderful time at Sunderland. And in hindsight, yeah, it would have been lovely to play for Tottenham, but my 6 years there, I couldn't swap it for anything.
As soon as you mentioned Glenn, he's indelibly associated with the England job. If I try and pull two themes together and say to you the word Wembley, whether club or country, if Wembley starts the adrenaline and the synapses going, what does Wembley mean to you if you roll it all up into a ball? Because you've had a full mix of experiences.
Yeah, it means growing. Oh, I remember watching the FA Cup, as you would have done as a youngster, watching the team bus from 12 o'clock travel, the helicopters above going to Wembley. It got my juices flowing when I was a young kid, Wembley Way. The finals, watching the finals. I managed to go to a Milk Cup final when I was very young. I can't remember. I think it would have been Arsenal against maybe Liverpool.
Charlie Nicholas scoring.
Yeah, that was it.
I think it was Charlie Nicholas.
I don't remember an awful lot about the game because I was young, but when I first went, and then, believe it or not, my sister played a fair bit of football for Hemel Hempstead Ladies, and she managed to get to a cup final, which was played at Wembley.
And thankfully she's never teased you about it.
Well,
right?
You know, I didn't want to go to the game because I was gutted that she played at Wembley before me. And she's never let me forget it. But I went along and watched. And
Please, can we name your sister? Just out of
Karen. Karen.
Good job. Did they win?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
Let's say yes.
Let's say yes. Yeah. Don't want to spoil it.
Go on, Hemel.
But I just remember, again, when I went to Highbury about going up the steps, the Milk Cup final, and then you come up and you see Wembley, the green turf, the crowd. It was just, I just said, I want to play.
And this is Twin Towers Wembley,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, Twin Towers, yeah, the Wembley.
Yeah.
I want to play her at some stage. And I was gutted, Mrs. I was delighted for her, don't get me wrong, but I was gutted that she'd played there before me. And, you know, I couldn't wait to get my opportunity to come play there.
But then it has to bring in the feelings of the first time I ever saw you. We wouldn't call it met, but I remember speaking to you. I remember being, again, like I say, I'm soppy about people's stories in football. I remember in Burnham Beeches, you've been called up for England. That was where the get together was. I'm not sure it's where the hotel was, or was it?
Yeah, Burnham Beeches. Yeah, we stayed there,
and we go there to the get together, and it was a nice place, and there was a bridge club that we used to listen to all the press conferences really nearby. And you were there, and you shouldn't be floating on a cloud of happiness. Mm-hmm. You'd had an incident personally with your daughter, who was well again, but there'd been a little fright. You've picked by your country. I'm pretty sure you'd just come up from the Championship. It was the Championship year, the First Division year.
Yeah, it was when we got promoted, yes.
Sunderland player in there as well, with Mickey Gray, who's also in there. Yeah. So two of you in there. And I just remember this kind of... You were just beaming.
Wow. Because it was a dream come true. It was a dream come true. You know, I was like any other kid growing up in the street. You know, everyone, when you scored a goal, and I remember scoring a goal just against the fence at the back of my house. As soon as I'd scored, I'd go, Gary Lineker, and run off with my hand in the air. Grew up watching, you know, the World Cup where Lineker scores his hat trick. I remember being allowed to stay up to watch it, laying on the carpet with my hands. In my head, in my hands, watching the TV.
Against Poland this year.
Against Poland,
They've got a win to go through.
Yeah, so, you know, I wanted to play for England. First and foremost, I wanted to be a professional footballer. Secondly, I wanted to represent my country. And, you know, luckily I've been able to do both. But you're right, you know, if I hadn't have been floating on air down there, there would have been something wrong with me. So, you know, when I did get that phone call, me and Mickey, to say we'd been picked, it was just... It was incredible, and my actual getting picked for England was caught on camera, because I was doing a camera shoot stroke. Sky were following me for Deodora down on the beachfront at Sunderland.
All right.
And before I left to go and do it, Reedy said, "Keep your phone on because there might be a shout of you being in the England squad." And I'm like, "Yeah, no chance." So while we're doing the interview and the photo shoot, my phone rings. And I said to the guys, listen, I've got to answer this. I said, because it's the gaffer. And they said, yeah, no problem. And they actually was filming. They just kept the cameras rolling. Kev, it's Reedy. You've been picked for England. Well done. Absolute delight for you and Mickey. And I was just like, I was stunned. I couldn't believe it. You know, the goosebumps had come down me. I was nervous. I was shaking. And I couldn't wait to get home, tell my wife and ring my family. And it was a surreal moment to say I've actually been picked for my country. One country, two, I'm still a Championship player. And me and Mickey, I think, were the first two to be picked for England out of the Championship. So it was amazing.
And it's Keegan, who presumably you haven't seen so much of as a kid.
Not an awful lot. Obviously know a lot
but
about him.
When it happened at the time, because Kevin had been brought in, and as a Scot, now, certainly not anti-English, but as a youngster when you're brought up, particularly if England are winning all the time, these weren't particularly popular on my side of the border.
Yeah, no.
And Kevin would torture us all the time. So until you meet him and see his charms, he was difficult to admire as a Scot. As you meet him and you hear the passion, and then when you see his achievements, because he was an exciting footballer, powerful footballer, I immediately wondered if he'd seen something of himself in you. Did you see anything like that in him, or did he see anything like that in you?
Yeah, he did, and I think there's been a couple of quotes, you know, from what he said and from what I've read, that he did see, you know, a bit of himself in me, which was a great compliment for me. You're right, you know, he was fantastic to me, absolutely brilliant, not just to me, but to Mickey. But the advice and the one-on-one stuff that he give us in terms of staying after training with finishing, staying behind with Shearer, Owen, Fowler, you know, just learning off of these guys, and then Kevin giving us a little bit of tuition, talking to us. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I can't speak highly enough of him, you know, giving my opportunity to play for
in
my
Hungary,
country.
In Hungary, didn't it? You start in Hungary?
Yeah, Hungary. So, we met at Burnham Beaches, then we travelled out to Hungary. And, you know, part of me wish it would have been at Wembley. You know, my debut. But to pull on that free line shirt away at Hungary alongside Alan and many other good players was a dream come true.
We hope you enjoyed that small slice. To hear the full interview, it's time to become a socio. Head to patreon.com/Graham Hunter to instantly unlock this interview, plus other big interviews with Rafa van der Vaart, Robbie Keane and Ledley King. Socios also get full weekly episodes of The Big Inside View. Over 600 of you have signed up to become socios. All this for £2.99, less than the price of a pint or your favourite football magazine.